Good morning. Yes, it's just seeing all the families up front here and seeing the prayers and just the love. You know, that's what family is, should be. And we really do want to see, as we reach out with the VBS, to love those families as well. And we're just trusting God for great things. You know, just how important family is. And we are a family in Christ, and that's why we're here together. And that's why you listen to this weird-looking guy up here pretty much every Sunday as well, you know, because we're together to hear the Word of God and what He has for us. Games people play. I know you probably played these type of games and stuff like that. Lots of other things. Next, please. You got hide and seek, one of my favorite games when I was a little guy and stuff like that. My boys, we used to do that a lot too. I don't know what happened to this picture. Game of tag, you know, something when I was teaching PE, that's everybody's one of their favorites, you know, from the older kids to the high schoolers all the way down to the little guys, you know, they just love to hit one another with a ball or something or just slap on their side of the head. You're it. You know, it's just something fun about that, you know, running around and stuff. Next, please. Thing is, though, is, you know, you can play games. It's fun. They're good. They're good for recreation and stuff like that. But we got to be careful what we, when it comes down to the more serious matters about our spiritual condition or who we are, where we're going for eternity, that's a more serious question that we don't want to play games with. And as you're listening to Steve read this passage, there are three main questions that we're going to be kind of looking at today and how they impact us, really how it impacts us for eternity. There's a choice that we all have to make. God did not create robots. He created people with free will. And we all have a choice. Very important to remember that. Next, please. So before we carry on with these funny-looking guys here, let's give this to the Lord. Father God, again, we come before You rejoicing in Your Word, a time that we can spend together. I pray that Your name be honored and glorified in all of this, Lord, that You'll speak through me by the power of Your Holy Spirit, that You'll give us hearts open to hear and to learn, and to grow, and to receive the challenge, and go forth in it, Lord, and to stand firm in the faith, and to proclaim Christ. We praise You and thank You, Lord. Bless this time, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Yes. One of the first parts there, John, you know, he's in prison, but he still has people going back and forth, giving him news of what's going on. He's probably hearing Jesus doing these things. He's still probably scratching his head because remember, John's ministry was full of fire and brimstone, right? Judgment and wrath. Get those guys. Tear apart the kingdom of Rome, Roman Empire. Bring God's kingdom down. Wipe out all those people who are resistant. So when Jesus is going about healing and loving people, he's kind of scratching his head going, whoa. He says, hey, he got his disciples, hey, go ask Jesus this. And so they come up to Jesus and they kind of go, oh, you know, Jesus, you know, and he's probably healing people and stuff. And he says, what? You know, yeah, what do you have here? What do you need? And he says, well, we have a question for you. And they're kind of a little bit, maybe a little scared, I think, too. But he probably says, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? See, that's a question of someone who is human. Because I think if you look at our own history and our own lives, our own walk of faith, or just our walk in this world, we have a tendency to waver. And you see, John, it's a strange question from a guy like John the Baptist, who was filled with the Holy Spirit before birth, and was carrying out God's ministry with precision, unwavering, and all he did. A hard-nosed guy, strong in his faith, and yet he asked a question, because don't forget, he's the one earlier he proclaimed, he pointed at Christ and says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he talked about him even further. You know, I'm the one to prepare the way for this guy, for that he's going to be greater than I. I baptize with water, but he's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. And then he starts talking about the winnowing fork and separating, you know, and the fire, you know, the wrath and all that. And so, but, you know, see, that was his ministry. But Jesus' ministry was different. So John's was on judgment. Jesus was on compassion that we were learning last week. And he sent them back. He said, you know, hey, well, tell him. Tell John, you know, what's going on. You know, I'm following all of this. You know, but still there's that question, you know, I think in John's heart, or even in our hearts, is there someone else coming to deal with the judgment part? You're doing all this, but is there somebody else coming? Maybe that was really his real question there. If he was there in person, he probably would have asked that. Next, please. So Jesus' ministry, in a nutshell, well, he said, you know, if you go to Luke 4:43, he says it pretty plainly. He says, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. See, they wanted to keep him there, you know, having Jesus there and all of his teaching, all of his healing. But he said, no, I got to continue on. And then combined with what he was saying there, his anointing there from the scriptures of Isaiah, talking about he's anointed to preach the good news to the poor, right? He's proclaiming freedom for the prisoners. He's recovering sight for the blind, releasing those who are oppressed, proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. Then he stopped right there. If you look at the scripture there in Isaiah 61, you would see that there's something called, you know, there's a day of vengeance of the Lord. He didn't mention that because his ministry on earth is focusing upon the compassion part, saving people, healing, delivering people. And that's his ministry in a nutshell, clarified, perfectly clear. And I hope as John received that news from his disciples, I just trust that his heart, he probably opened and said, okay, I'm okay with this. He's saying things are going accordingly. I believe that. Next, please. So you look, you know, when you look at the centurion that last week, you know, he was probably well off, but he lacked the power and authority to heal his own servant. The widow of Nain was in a desperate situation. She couldn't get herself out of that. She had a horrible future to look forward to. See, when you're in that state, you know, there's only needs only God can meet. Only God. No one else. No system, no government, no health care reforms, no insurance. Sorry, Steve. No medicine, no special philosophies in our lives that we try to follow, special rituals. No, nothing. Nothing can get us past. A lot of these things are out of our control. And so in desperation, you know, the centurion who loved the servant and a widow, she had no clue what Jesus was going to do, and maybe she didn't even know who Jesus was at that time. He met the need. Only God can meet those needs. He has the power and authority to meet those needs, and he can do that in our lives even today. And that's why Matthew 6:33 is one of my favorites of all times, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek him. You're having trouble? Remember in James we were studying too? You know, if you're having troubles, go seek God. Ask for help. Ask for prayer. You know, don't go to that book and don't go to that way over there or start calling up this guy and that guy. Go to Jesus. Go to God, the creator of the universe, who has all power and authority over all things and the whole universe. It's amazing even to think about that. It's beyond my comprehension to really understand that. And all these things will be given to you as well. All that you need. You got to trust in that. Next, please. falling away, as he's saying, don't, he's saying, you know, blessed is man who doesn't fall away on account of me, you know, because I'm doing things, you know, expectations, you know, we expect things and people aren't doing them the way we get a little impatient, right? Or we start throwing up roadblocks going, this guy is not doing what I want. I'm going to start going somewhere else. You know, I this just isn't fitting with my expectations. I'm going on this path instead because I think it's going to be better for me. See, we have that when you're, if you ever had the opportunity to share the good news with somebody, and sometimes it might even get to a point to where you're going, man, this is hard. There's bad news. You know, you're not good. You're not good enough in anything you do to get into heaven. And there's that good news that Jesus had to die for you, die for me, where I could go into heaven. And there's a lot of people just try to make it more acceptable. Maybe take some of those, change some things a little bit there. Like, oh, you're okay. Jesus died, but you're okay anyways. You're good enough. You're good enough as it is. So you don't need to really go down that path. Don't worry about your sin. That's all right. See, God is so good. He's so good. He died for you. You don't have to worry about your sin. They forget to tell you that. You've got to actually confess your sin or repent and turn from your sin. You know, there's a working there showing that God is actually in our lives, right? World problems, you look at the news, you read the internet or whatever else, and you just sit there and go, yeah, the question goes through my head sometimes, Jesus, did you really do anything? Did you really do anything? And then maybe, and then you start asking the same thing, John the Baptist, you know, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? It's not going very well. It's not going well the way I like it. Next, please. Ouch. You ever been hit like that? I've been hit like that quite a few times spiritually. You know, ouch. You know, you get, but you know what? Sometimes you do need to get one and a kisser. Kind of, you get out of that wavering mode, you know. Oh, Jesus, did you really do anything? You know, are you really the one who is to come? Should I expect someone else? Is there a better book or is there another person? You know, Confucianism, you know, those guys, Buddha, you know, Muhammad, and whatever else. Burp. Hit me in the jaw. Wake me up. Get me out of that staggering moment and help me realize that Jesus is alive and he did die for us. And he rose again on a third day. All that he did for us so we can come into his presence once again and live our lives following his purposes so we could be a blessing to our families and all the community around us and around the world as he guides us, as he sends us, as he raises up those workers. Next, please. Bye, Mike. That guy is tough. He's tough, isn't he? So we go to the next part. Well, okay, so Jesus' ministry is clarified. Now, what about John's? I mean, you know, some people might be going, huh, okay, John, what were you doing? Well, he's asking, you know, what did you go out to, you know, he asked the crowd, you know, what did you go out to see? You know, did you looking for somebody who's really rich and stuff like that? No, you know, and then it came down to, you know, they went out to see a prophet. Yes, a prophet. And not only just a prophet who prophesied the word of God, and taught about the good news and repentance of sins and for baptism, but also who was prophesied about. Next, please. A guy named Malachi talked about this one. He says this, he says, see, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. So John had a special ministry. He was to prepare the way go up front, prepare the hearts of the people, like what he did, you know, preaching the good news, giving people opportunities to repent and be baptized and show that they're ready. And then he was to actually step out of the way. And actually, he was stepped out of the way faster probably than he thought, because he was in prison. And after that, and during imprisonment, he was beheaded. So he was really out of the way. But he had that ministry of getting in front and then getting out of the way. Kind of like the scouts, you know, in an army troop. They go out there and they're scouting, you know, doing reconnaissance and seeing what's going on, seeing where the enemy is. And then they report back to their big group. They get out of the way of that big group and they're going to go through. And they're going to take on the enemy. Next, please. The goat. You know, Jesus is saying, you know, this guy is the greatest born of women. You know, now, for Jesus, you know, Jesus is a little bit different. He was on another wavelength than John, but born of flesh. You know, some people say, well, what does it mean? You know, what does it mean about those in the kingdom? The least in the kingdom are greater here. And I'm not going to take long because this is a whole other sermon or two or whatever. But it's really, to me, it's just, you know, when you're in the kingdom of heaven, it's far better than being here on earth. You are certainly greater than some all of us here who are still trying to get to the finish line. You already finished it, just like the people that they already got their diplomas, right? They finished it, but those guys behind them are still sweating and working and trying to get to it yet. Those people are greater. Goat. I just love that word, the goat. You remember what that means? What does that mean? Zeb, you know what that means, right? There you go. Greatest of all time. That's John the Baptist. Thank you. Next, please. So by Ahio holding out, I mean, Shirley and I were talking the other day with Joy, and, you know, something touched her. And old Pastor Swagger says, well, what are you holding out for? Well, what are you holding out for? You know, Jesus' miracles are plain and clear. His power, his death and resurrection, all that right in front of us. We've seen it. You know, it just gives evidence to his divine ministry. And John's ministry was also through the people were repenting. They wouldn't be repenting unless God was working in their hearts. You don't repent unless there's something going on here. You can't do it up here. It just doesn't work. There's no true repentance coming from here. It has to come from here, from your very heart, soul of your own person. It's still happening today. Miracles are still work. People say, well, where did you see a miracle? Well, I look in the mirror every day. I say, that's a miracle. Jesus saved me. That's a miracle. When I go outside and see little flowers coming up after this 40-something inches of snow that we had, I sit there going, oh, that's a miracle. All right, that's a miracle too. So there's miracles all around us. We just got to open up your eyes. Next, please. So don't hold out, though that, you know, that, I know that I see some drool coming out of some of your mouths there on that shot there, that chocolate there, that's mine. So don't think about it anymore. Illustration, you know, Jesus turns to the crowd again. Hard to please people. It's really what he's telling them. You know, they're saying, well, they're playing games, they're playing flutes, they're trying to do this. Really what they're trying to do is get John and Jesus to do what they want. You know, you go, you know, it's my way or the highway type ass attitude. Yeah, smug and complacent. That's where we go. That's what causes us to hold out. That's what causes us to reject. We think that we're okay. We want it our way. You know, Jesus dying on the cross wasn't what the Pharisees wanted from their Messiah. And even today, we still reject that. I don't want a suffering servant as my king. I want a mighty warrior. Well, you know what? Just wait a little bit longer. The mighty warrior is coming back. All right? He came in gentleness and in compassion. But things are moving. And there's going to be a day where the warrior king comes back. And then things are going to be judged, destroyed. So there's a choice to be made. And he's trying to wake these guys up, say, stop playing games. You know, okay, play games and, you know, for recreation and stuff like that, with your buddies and stuff like that, but when it comes down to spiritual matters, don't play games. Next, please. Choices impacting eternity, right? We all have choices. We have a choice to make in our lives. Are we going to seek God or not? Well, this is what Moses was saying to the Israelites in the desert. There he says, this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now, look at this. Now choose life. It seems like a no-brainer, doesn't it? life or death? I take death. Hello. You need a kick in the pants. Choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice. Don't laugh at that. And hold fast to him. You know, that's the choice is there. It's just we got to get out of our own way. John had to get out of the way. We need to sometimes just get out of Jesus' way and just get him in our lives and follow his path. Next, please. Oh, here, I won't let you look at that. But I just, you know, the old saying, you know, when it comes back here, when Jesus says, well, you know, the wisdom's, you know, if you go back to Proverbs, wisdom is really, you know, stated as a woman, right? And, you know, her children are going to prove things, you know, right or wrong. Well, there's another one, the proof of the pudding's in the eating, right? So if you get that pudding and you start eating it, and if it's good or not, you're going to know right away. If it isn't, you're going to be going, oh, you're going to throw it away and go, this is not it, you know? But Jesus, we know, you taste and it is really good. You taste the Word of God, you taste His presence. There's nothing more wonderful than to be in his presence and to know him more. Next, please. I'm really tempting you guys, aren't I? I think I was in a mood yesterday. You know, all the chocolate. I missed my dessert, did I? No, I had my ice cream, didn't I? I think I did, yeah. With the little topping, that hard chocolate topping on it. Am I making you hungry? Just a little bit more. Dealing with rejection. See, now, for us, you know, I tell you, this is what stops a lot of us, right, from telling people about Jesus. We're afraid to be rejected. It's scary, isn't it? It's not really, I mean, yeah, we face, you know, them going, get out of here. You're foolish. We do that, but really it's to Christ, right? It's really to Jesus, but we're his representative. So, you know, hey, we are going to feel, you know, if you don't feel a little bit hurt and stuff like that, then I'm not sure if you're human. So yeah, rejection is hard. And we don't want our friends or families or people that we're talking to Christ about to reject Jesus because we know what the eternal consequence is. It's okay to feel sorry about that, unhappy about that, a little, you know, hurt. And Jesus says, well, if you look at chapter 9, and if you know, that's a whole other sermon as well later on for us, but he always said this, just shake off the dust. Take the shoes off and shake it off. And, you know, people are peering out, what's going on? He says, we're going somewhere else. That's really what it is. All this, you know, you tell somebody about Christ and they're just going, I'm just not ready. I just can't handle this. You know, this stuff just doesn't fit with my life right now, all that stuff. And what you do is just kind of just shake the dust off and you just kind of move on. And you know, if there's another God-given opportunity, well, you take it. But otherwise, you just go on. But, you know, if you look a little bit further down in chapter 9, and as Jesus was going through the Samaritan village and people were kind of going, oh, get out of here, Jesus, get out of here, you know, that type of stuff. And John and James and John were going, ooh, should we just call fire down from heaven and toast these guys? Woo! That's what we want to do, right? Somebody reject Jesus, you're toast, boy. You're toast, right? Zoom. You just want flames coming out of fingers. like that. Just burn them out. You know, no, you know what? That's not for us to do, okay? That's not for us to do. We are messengers only. We are not Jesus. We are not anything special. We are insignificantly significant in this world. God can use us as we follow His will, or He can use somebody else. So don't get in the way of what God's doing. Don't burn them, but pray for them. Pray for them. They reject, continue to pray for them. Continue to look for opportunities to share Christ with them. Love them. When they face hard times, remember, loving the unlovable. That's what we got to do. That's what's going to really impact lives. It's hard. I'm not saying it's not easy. It's hard, but that's what we are called to do. And when we do that, God's going to he's always at work. He doesn't take a break. He doesn't take a vacation. He's always at work. He's moving and shaking and trying to get people, you know, to turn and see who He is. And our part is to continue to be those people, you know, to pray God's will into their lives and to see miracles happen. And we will. And we have. And we will some more as we're faithful in that. So don't give up on them. Don't toast them yet. All right? But there is a toasting to come, right? Next, please. See, if you find your faith wavering, well, you know what? Remember that hit in the jaw? Go to the Word, or go to a follower of Christ, you know, one of your brothers or sisters, and just talk. Get into His Word. Pray. Seek Him out. Encounter Him. Open up your eyes and see Him around you. Listen to His voice. Take some quiet time. You know, feel His presence. Encounter Christ. You know, Romans talks about, you know, how man, you know, they reject God by suppressing the truth. They just can't handle it. The truth is so hard. We're sinners. We're not good enough. I'm good. I'm nice to people. No, before a holy God, you're not. So we suppress that truth. No. There's a better way. I know I'm better than that. I know I'm good. I can do this on my own. That's American. But I think that's everywhere around the world, right, Laura? I think everybody does the same thing. Doesn't matter. I can't handle the truth. I'm finding another way. God says, well, my creation is right in front of your face. And you see my internal power and my invisible qualities in that. So everything's clear to you. I exist. I am alive. No one has an excuse. No one. Next, please. So, what do? I think you have to click one more time, Jeff. This is kind of a weird slide. There you go. Thank you. Don't play games. Don't play games with your spiritual lives. You know, if you still haven't been baptized, you know, to show your commitment to Christ and publicly to encourage others and to give honor to God, do it. If you haven't received Christ in your life yet, if you're still kind of going, oh, the truth just is too hard for me. Things aren't going the way I expected them to go. But Jesus already did everything for you, blessing you with the greatest gift of all, eternal life. I'll take that any day over this life. So what's holding you back? Come, receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Ask for forgiveness, receive it, follow Him. That's what it is. Choose to serve the Lord. In Joshua 24:14, can I read that to you at the end here? If I can find it. It's in the Old Testament. Did you know that? Joshua. This is actually my, part of it is my life verse. But I just wanted to read this to you to end it here. Joshua's talking to the Israelites too, as Moses, right? And it says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshiped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we shall serve the Lord." May each one of us be able to proclaim that as well and be a witness to that as well. Let's pray. Father God, your word is powerful, awesome. Lord, guide us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us to go forth with this good news, the choices that we give. Help us to choose life. And Lord, to be those who bring life, to bring the word of life to others. Lord, and not to burn them, but to love them. Love them into the kingdom of God. By your power alone, we pray. We just thank you. Thank you again for this word. Thank you for this day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And all of his people say, amen.